Okay. The title of this message is Celebrate God's Wisdom. We benefit if we take a new tack to God's wisdom. The new tack is to celebrate it, to learn to enjoy it, believe in it, just kind of in our hearts be happy for the new things that we're learning. And the book of Proverbs is an interesting book. It personifies wisdom. If you look at the whole book, it personifies wisdom as a mother or grandmother. At least that's how I see it. There's a good grandmother or good mother, and that's wisdom. Then there's a bad woman called, and I'll just use this term, it's the undermining loose woman. That's the bad, or the evil woman, if you like that. And the two are contrasted. Whose advice are you taking in the book of Proverbs? And there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. You know, one of the great gifts that Solomon got was he prayed. He didn't pray for wealth and victory over his enemies. He prayed for wisdom to lead so great a people. And God was so impressed with that. He gave him more wisdom than any man has ever had, which is an interesting thing. And people will marvel at Solomon's wisdom. Of course, even Solomon, though called, screwed up in his senior years. But that proves you got to keep trying till the end. But what is the starting point to wisdom? Go to Proverbs 1:7. Remember, we said we want to celebrate wisdom, enjoy it in our heart. So the starting point is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, a foolish person, I don't want to hear any facts. Let me do whatever I want to do. And you do need to fear God. I was thinking about what I heard. Obviously, God's going to be fair to everyone. They'll get a fair chance for salvation. However, we know that a fair number based on, you know, Matthew 25, we'll maybe go through that some other time, what Matthew 25 says about take it seriously, treat people right, use your talents. Some won't do that and they won't make it. Also, even for those who aren't called, the law has an automatic penalty. If you break God's, because one thing about a law, to be a law, it must have like a law of thermodynamics or all those other laws that, you know, you can read about in physics books. If you break the law breaks you. It's an automatic penalty if it's a law. It works automatically. So if you break God's laws, like if you're a thief, you're going to have a lot of problems in your life. It might take a while to catch up with you, but it'll catch up with you. It's an automatic penalty. So we should fear God. That's the start of wisdom. Step number 2, verse 8. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Do you know that, I think you can prove this too, rebellious kids, every kid has a little bit of that in them, but those that really go to the extreme and defy their parents, and I'm going to, you know, tell their parents off, they're probably, unless they get themselves straightened out, they're going to have a hard life. You need to, of course, I know we're all older now, but for those who listen to this tape that are younger, you need to listen to your parents. Take their advice. And one thing I think many of us could say about our parents, even when our parents have problems or weaknesses, their advice still took that into consideration. Don't do what I did, or you know what I'm saying. They usually push their kids to higher standards. And I'd say step number 2, if you want wisdom, is listen to your parents and your grandparents, especially your grandparents. They know more. Now that I'm a grandparent, I didn't grow up till I was, never mind. But we should celebrate receiving wisdom and hearing the wisdom of God. That's really what the book is saying in the beginning of the book. Proverbs 2, chapter 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure, I'm emphasizing the word treasure, my commands within you. In other words, he's saying, you know, like people, you know, these divers spend tons of money searching for Spanish doubloon, you know, the gold coins in the Gulf of Mexico, or people buy all kinds of raffle and lottery tickets because they treasure the big win that they maybe have one chance out of 5 million to get, but they're hoping. What should we treasure? We should treasure God's laws, God's commands, God's wisdom, God's Bible. We should treasure the wisdom in this book. That's what it's saying, as we understand it. We should treasure it. It's worth more than money. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding it. Because don't take some people take the Bible like, it's kind of like a holy book, but they don't really take it seriously. Like, what is it seriously saying to you? They take it kind of in a mystic way. You have to actually say, what's the context of the verse? What does it really, really mean? What is it really telling us? And try to understand it. Apply our heart. When you get it in deep, a heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you want to really have discernment, go to the Bible. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for a hidden treasure. In other words, it's worth more than money. It's worth more than money. And everybody, you know, money's the big thing. We should celebrate it. Just like people celebrate the Cubs winning the championship, we should celebrate Bible understanding, worth more than money. And then, since we're emphasizing the word then, verse 5, and then, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. But if you really want wisdom, that's where you get it. All of us want discernment, discretion and discernment. Actually, in some ways, we live in a world where knowledge is so readily available. It's like students rarely go to the library anymore. Librarians are begging, send me some students. You know, I tell them, go over there and research something. But what they can do is they got tablets and they got all kinds of stuff now, and smartphones. They can say, Google, tell me, and you know, whatever they say. And Google puts up a list of things. And it's like a digital library in your hand, or they got a tablet. Maybe tablet's even better. Maybe there's more to it than that. I'm not a real expert. But they can say, ask Google. Or they can say, go to Wikipedia and then put in the title. And Wikipedia will give you all kinds of historical stuff. It's almost like we have knowledge at our fingertips. It's like overwhelming us with, you know, the world's libraries are right there on your tablet. You know, go to Wikipedia, put in the title. You get almost everything you want. Facts flow easily. Now, maybe they debate facts a little bit, how big the size of the crowd was or something, but you know what I mean. We have tons of knowledge, but what this world doesn't have is discretion, because that's using knowledge wisely, and wisdom. Because if we had more discretion and wisdom, this world wouldn't be so screwed up. You know, they say, well, why do we have so much crime in certain places? Because the policies the government and certain others have been pushing are unwise. They don't have real parenting in their homes. For instance, ask yourself, I was reading the book, and the author of the book does a real good job on it. And I'll bring the book in and put it in our library in the future. He's talking about happiness in the world. He says, if every child had a really loving set of parents who had really good, high moral values. He gave them a lot of love and attention, but not spoil them, but just do it in the right way. And you know, and they taught all their siblings to act accordingly. He said, we would surely have less problems. We'd need less policemen. There'd be less people with extreme emotional, all the problems, and we got people that are, they want to murder people. I mean, they literally don't care, you know, the normal human caring. There are a lot of young and middle-aged people that have grown up with, I mean, they're emotionally and as far as character-wise, their heart is messed up. God's going to have to work hard in the future to get them straightened out. He said, if we just had that one thing, the world would be so much better. If we had wisdom. We know a lot of government policies and things have diminished the value of the family. A lot of churches don't push really Bible principles that much. As a matter of fact, I'm listening to Christian radio, but I like a lot of what they say. One of the authors was saying, if the president can get rid of the Johnson Amendment, that's the amendment that says if a church shouldn't, I don't know exactly legal wording, but someone can go to the IRS and say, my church is messing in political issues like abortion or something I don't like, consider taking away their nonprofit status, which means they get taxed and the government can real hassle them. And remember, that's what Jefferson said, taxation is the ability to destroy. That's why they gave churches a tax-free status, so because they value religious freedom. Because they had problems in Virginia, I won't go into the details. He understood it. They were back and forth. That was, by the way, the number one in the Bill of Rights, religious freedom, then freedom of speech, freedom of the press. You can see how they all go together, and freedom of assembly. Well, that Johnson Amendment should be unconstitutional. He was saying that many pastors who really just don't want to risk offending anybody, or maybe they don't fully believe in it, they hide behind the Johnson Amendment. I can't talk about, I'm using abortion because that was the issue they were discussing the most, but other issues too. I can't say anything about that or about unwed motherhood. And I'm not unsympathetic to not wanting to offend people, but there's all I'm saying is if certain principles had been pushed in society in the last 50, 60 years, we would be happier as a society. We'd have a ton less problems. And I know you're going to say, some people are going to have fabulous parents and fabulous town and still grow up to be a killer and a maniac. And I realize that's true. Human nature is not that simplistic. But you'd have a whole lot less of it. I think everybody would agree. You'd have a whole lot less of people that are, you know, I can't think of the exact description, but some people have no conscience. You know, they're that type. You'd have a whole lot less of that if we had more wisdom in this society. We have more knowledge, more facts, but less wisdom. And what we find in this world is, if you looked at the demonstrators last Saturday, they were angry and unhappy and mad. And I don't think it was just that they lost the election. I think because they're going against God's way. Now, they wouldn't know this if you tell them. They're automatically going down an unhappy road, but they just don't know it. And even some famous actresses that you'd all recognize and think, oh, that's the famous music producer or star of, I don't even know all the movies they've been in, but you'd recognize some of them if I mentioned their name. Yes, they're unhappy, even though they're a star. I could see it in their rant, in their raving. Demonstrating in the streets. They say they left trash, profanity, even in some of the signs. Even there were little children around. It was not an upscale thing. It was a low, low-scale, angry thing. That's what I mean when I say they have plenty of knowledge in this world, but not much wisdom. And one of the problems we now have, the abusing of painkillers, because you're unhappy and you're angry, you want to take drugs to make you feel good. I call it artificial high, temporary artificial happiness. And there's all these psychotropic drugs meant to affect your mood and stuff. I guess they invented them for the psychiatrist, but they're being abused. I guess they kill certain kinds of mental pain. You know, the number one killer of young people, and I think people in general, used to be traffic, apart from, you know, elderly people dying of heart disease, was traffic deaths. Now that is far overshadowed by drug overdoses. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? Drug overdoses. Because you mess with all those dangerous drugs, trafficking them, it's, you know, they're dangerous. And the fastest growing segment of our population is now not Christian. And I heard them talking about this also on the radio. Secular atheism or secular agnosticism, where they don't really believe in, now they may believe in global warming or certain progressive ideas, but they don't have any belief in anything solid like God or solid principles. It's all relative. That's the fastest growing society segment. I thought they would say Islam or Mormonism or evangelicals, but no, it is secularism. That does not bode well for the future, does it? There's going to be a lot more angry, dissatisfied people because there's little discretion. He also says people have these images of what life is supposed to be. And that's breaking one of God's commandments, the 10th commandment on coveting. See, if you have these, and the guy in the book does a really good job of describing it. If you have images in your mind that you're supposed to get this kind of job, you're supposed to, you know, have an easy life and get all the goodies and maybe, you know, a certain amount of fame and attention and whatever you think you're supposed to get, and then you realize somebody else has got it and you don't have it, or you don't have as much of it as they've got it, that's what coveting is. Then you're unhappy and you're mad and you're demanding this and that. Every law has its penalty. To covet, and there's always somebody with more, better, whatever you think that means, or even self-images, you know, you try to. And I'm not against exercising in gyms and all that sort of thing, but you got to be realistic. Everybody is not going to have the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever you think is the model body. It's just genetics. And it's just not going to happen. You know, he says we've got to learn to appreciate what God has given us and celebrate the wisdom of the Bible. Going into Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom enters your heart and acknowledge it's pleasant to your soul, and discretion will preserve you. I want to emphasize the fact that we should enjoy learning about God's things. That's what he wants. Enjoy it. And we'll be able to use it in this life, but in the world tomorrow, when we're leading, maybe you'll be in charge of a big chunk of Southern Illinois, or however God works it out. Maybe you'll be in North Africa, or, you know, wherever you are, you'll be able to use that wisdom and understanding, of course, with God's power, etc., and be able to do wonderful things. You can tell people, I remember back in 2017 when people thought, and you can rattle off whatever they thought, but that wasn't wise, and here's why, and you shouldn't do this or whatever it is. It'll be wonderful. Everything that we learn will help us now, but even more immensely in the future. And I really believe God isn't allowing all this suffering in the world now for nothing. We're going to learn great lessons that, well, eventually other people will learn it when they reflect back on it, that will propel mankind to great heights in God's family. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. And it's kind of like a parent to child, much of the book of Proverbs. But, you know, if you forget right and wrong, your life is headed for trouble. You're going to be in trouble probably a lot sooner than later. But let your heart keep my commands. I think that's one way he's saying, let God in your heart. That's what he's really saying. Let God in your heart. And if we want to be among those that succeed and get in the book of life as opposed to those that don't make it, and everyone will get a fair chance. I'm not worried about that. But all I'm saying is if we want to use this opportunity that we have wisely, let God's commands and God's love and God's mercy and God's wisdom get in our heart. Let God, and then celebrate it. If you celebrate it, you'll get more of it. Celebrate putting God in our hearts. Now, this story is a homeless man was down on his luck. So he went to a really upscale church in that town, you know, where a lot of uppity social people were. And as he went in there, the usher saw him coming up the stairs in his dirty clothes and stopped him outside the church and asked if he needed help. And the man said, well, I was praying And God suggested I go to church. So, well, this is one of the brightest buildings and best ones in town. So I thought I would come in here. The usher suggested the man go away and pray some more that he might get a different answer. Because this is not the church for you. Leave. So he goes off, and next Sunday he returns. The usher again stops him on the stairway. He says, well, did you get a different answer? And the guy said, the bad clothes said, yes, I did. I told the Lord that you didn't want me here. And the Lord said, keep trying, my son. I've been trying to get into that church for years, and I haven't made it either yet. God can't even get in there. Well, you know, as funny as that is, you got to open our heart through celebrating so God can get in. Because a lot of people are probably, maybe they don't fully know it, doing things, saying things in such a way God won't get into their hearts because they don't like the Bible, or they don't want to like the Bible, or they don't want the Bible to be right, or they'll use any excuse, Johnson Amendment, whatever, to dodge it. And I believe this to be true. There are exceptions for political reasons. God can force a king to do something he doesn't want to do. But I'm speaking in a general way for most Christians in most circumstances. God is not will not force you. He won't force you to accept his ways. He might, you know, teach you some tough lessons, but he won't force you to do what he wants you to do. He won't force you to love him. He won't force you to accept his wisdom. I mean, that's my opinion. I'm not saying he won't call you and open your mind so you see it and you think about it, but I believe we have free moral agency. And you might say, why would God want us to have free moral agency? And I think Ron Dart said this well in his book and as a teacher. You know, if God wanted robots, he could create robots. If God wanted cows, you know, or animals who have a certain set of instinct program, they do what they do, and that's all they do, well, he could do that. You know what I'm saying? And he's already had problems with Lucifer. So he wants people who can think for themselves. And then he shows you the way and you choose it. He doesn't force you. I mean, God could force you to do anything you want. Don't get me wrong. But I don't believe he's going to force you. Now, he might show you a few, you know, powerful things to get your attention. But I don't think he's going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to accept his wisdom. But if we can embrace it and celebrate in a positive way, it'll flow in us better. And that is what we should do. Proverbs 3, verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. And these are God's ways. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. We should be people who believe in mercy and truth. Give mercy to other people and believe in truth. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews 8? And in Jeremiah 33, the whole point of the new covenant is to write God's laws and ways and wisdom and mercy and grace and love in our heart. In our hearts. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, if you think about it, in the old covenant, God's finger wrote his ways on tablets of stone, his law. But it's a much greater thing he's doing to write it in our hearts with our cooperation, of course. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And it's just, you'll do better in life with God in your heart. Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all your heart. I'm going to read that again. Trust in the Lord, or Jehovah, I mean the English version, with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. We may think we're smart, and in some ways you may be smart about some things, but that's the problem with this world. You know, all those progressive programs and socialist programs and all the things that seem so smart to people. And when you read it, like Das Kapital, written by Engels and Karl Marx. It sounds so good. It sounds like, you know, everybody shares and the proletariat's labor leader directs everything. We all have things in common. We all live happily ever after. It sounds so good. I mean, human wisdom. It just doesn't work. And I think the whole empire of communism in all kinds of countries proved it. And we can say that about other places, too. It just doesn't work. But trust God that he knows best, and his ways do work. Verse 13, Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy, happy, happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. I think the more the world goes in an ungodly direction, the more angry and unhappy and demanding and dissatisfied they'll be. The more we try to get God in our hearts. And I know God didn't call the best people with the best whatever. So we have a battle getting ourselves together, and I understand that too. But don't get hooked up on false images of what life is supposed to be and what you're supposed to be. And, you know, I demand this and demand that, you know, what I call the coveting world. It just leads to disillusionment. Be happy. Learn to be like Paul, satisfied with whatever God gives you, even including challenges and trials on occasion. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we're going to pick it up in 3:13. And Paul is talking, I think, primarily about the leaders of the religious world, of his religious world in those days, 3:13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end or the goal of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. In other words, the religious leaders of his day, it's like they had a veil over their face. They could read Moses and the other books, but they didn't fully understand them, because God didn't open up their mind. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. The hearts really couldn't get it. They weren't being called. But the veil is lifted for us, like God lifted up the veil. And over time, we can see God's wisdom. We can understand his ways. We can understand his grace, his mercy, his love, his laws better than most people can. And we should rejoice and celebrate that. That we can see deeper. Rejoice in being first called. And it's not because we're wiser, because that's obviously not the case. And everyone will get a chance later, but our chance is now. We need to take it seriously. And if you are wiser, it's because God called us first. Not because we are wiser, it's because God called us first. Let's go to Psalms 119. And this is all put in alphabetical and rhyme order in Hebrew, and it's all about God's law. But just a few verses out of Psalms 119, verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. In other words, not to things. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. All the things in this life, clothes, cars, stereos, and whatever else you like, whatever it is, they're really temporary things. They're really not that valuable. God's wisdom is worth a whole lot more. Most people, oh, money, money, money. But really, money comes, boy, does money go. It goes faster. Really does. The buck is getting faster every day. Moving faster. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commands, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You wonder why God loved David? Because David loved the ways of God a lot. He wanted to be there with God a lot. Celebrate wisdom. Follow wisdom. It'll keep us safe. And keep us from hurting ourselves. Celebrate wisdom. Do Bible study. Get a little more wisdom through our Bible study every day and an extra shot in the arm on the Sabbath. And my final scripture is Proverbs 28:9. It's one of those scriptures that's kind of a warning if you think of it this way. And I'll read it and give you the warning, then we'll close the message. Proverbs 28, verse 9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Some other translations change it a little bit, but basically what it says is, if you stop listening to God, God will stop listening to you, and your prayers will go unheard and unanswered. Remember, if we stop listening to God, He will stop listening to us. So celebrate getting godly wisdom from His Bible.